share with you just a bit of an introductory on a story this morning that I think will be a good prelude to this message. If this message turns out the way that I think it will, or hope that it will, it's going to impact a lot of people this morning. Many times as a pastor, it's amazing to me that Miss Karen Timmons has been typing out my sermons. Everything I do is manuscript. I write it on something. It might be on a cardboard box or, you know, on a bologna wrapper at work or just something. And I have a tendency to lose it. I'm not a good organizer. I'm just not good at that kind of stuff. And you pray for me because as long as Jesus Christ is on His throne and people are willing, then there's always hope. Now, but I do understand that seeking God's face and finding a message that is suiting for this particular time in life sometimes comes very easy and sometimes it comes rather difficultly. God tests us. He lets us know that everything is not on a silver platter, that you must work for it in order to achieve your goals. But this message is on my heart as strong as any before. And I look at the message during the week, but I will tell you what my most difficult task is week in, week out when it comes to preparing for this stage at this time. God gives you what you need always. He is faithful. But God gives us so much information, and then sometimes He gives us little information. Sometimes it's as if we could work on autopilot, and sometimes you have to work manually, but He's always giving you exactly what you need. This week in this message is as good of information that He has ever given to my heart in my own personal opinion. But the biggest task is putting it in a small time frame and executing it so that you understand exactly what it is God has put in my heart. I can preach and ramble on and throw things to you, but if you do not truly grasp what it is the God in heaven has put in my heart as His messenger to give to ye the people, then I have failed. And I will tell you, my greatest fear in this life is failure. It is not dying. I've shared this with a couple, and it's kind of like, and I don't believe the way Tom Cruise believes. But there was a place there in the movie Days of Thunder to where he had gotten a bad wreck and Nicole Kidman, which would become his wife and then not become his wife and so on and so forth, told him as his doctor, she said, if you get in that race car, it will kill you. He said, I am more afraid of failing than I am of dying. And that is my greatest fear. My greatest fear is failing God and failing you, definitely above dying. Because to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I die, then I have not been bound, but I have been set free as a believer. So you pray for me right now, as I pray, that what God has put in my heart, which I believe is very rich, and I will not stand here and take the credit or be assumed as one who is smart because I am not. And truth be known, a lot of your theologians and ones who claim to be are not. It is what God did and not what they did. But they will not humble themselves. They will share with you because they feel as if though they are smarter than other people. So therefore, people like you and I cannot relate to these people. Even though some people want their knowledge, they do not bring it down to where we can understand it. If they would just fall down upon their knees and not forget where they come from, know where they're going, nor lose the sight of what they're doing in between, then people could be fed the Word of God. I am not one who will execute God's work on big words, nor I think vocabulary builders are great. We should have proper English. But I see theologians today who are great, and I appreciate the study that they have done. Because without their research, a lot of the things people like I would not have had they not studied. But I will not forget where I come from, nor will I forget where I am going. And in between, I will not lose sight of what I have been called to do. And that is to serve God, stay humble, and exalt His name, in order that people like you and I will be drawn nigh unto Him. Now, I said that to say this. We have to take angles in order to get to where we're going. Sometimes we take shortcuts. Sometimes we go a long way round because we are tired of the same path. Going down 52, you can turn beside Jordan's on Poe Farm Road, go over Bannockburn, find your way to Cali Young, and you can find my house on the left somewhere down the road. Or you can, there at 52 at the hot spot or Jordan's, instead of turning on Poe Farm Road, which will be on your left on the southbound lane, you can drive on down to the big town of Effingham and the post office and the red light that we have, might I add. Turning there left at the light, you find yourself on East Effingham Highway, which is Highway 327. Go over those same railroad tracks that you will find at Bannockburn, just a little bit further south. You go down, there's a church called Effingham Presbyterian. On your right to the left is Cali Young Road, and exactly 1 mile and one-tenth I live on the right-hand side. I go different ways because I get tired sometime of going the same old way. Now, that being said, for us to get to where we're going, we will have to take different angles. There is one constant God, and He is who He is. The great I Am still is. And we are still people who are born in sin from our mother's womb, and the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. That is a constant. Other people will tell you otherwise, but that is the way it is. And if I am right and you are wrong, then we will know when we get to where we're going. That being said, we have different perspectives, and whether you realize it or not, this morning, every one of you are looking at me from a different angle. Because no one can sit precisely where you are this morning. Only you can occupy and feel the very coordinates, if you please, in which you sit. So everyone sees me this morning from a little bit of a different angle. I will share with you now what happened with me as a youngster. I walked up behind my cousin, Shane Atkinson. He was using a garden hoe when we were young, and I don't know, he wasn't hoeing the garden by any means. I believe we were supposed to be, but he was not. But this handle on this hoe was already broke off, and it was just about half the regular length. And I'm going to get this crazy idea to sneak up behind him. And I love to scare people. That's evil, isn't it? But it's kind of fun. It feels good, doesn't it? And you... Long as you're not the one being scared, like, boo, you know. And But you get there, and I walk up behind him, and I love to scare people. And I'm walking up behind him, and he's over there, and he was just a little fellow now. And I walk up behind him, and there's, what, about 5-6 years between us? And I'm walking up behind him, and we were at the shop doing something at the back of the shop, and he was back there with that hoe handle, and he had it down like this here. And I said, I am fixing to light his world up, you know. He doesn't even know I'm coming. He's young. I'm going to make this boy jump. So I get right up behind him. I'm walking real light foot. And I get there behind him. And when I do, I go to grab him. You know, because it makes a bigger effect if you grab somebody and growl at the same time. You know, like, ugh, you know, grab them. And they don't know whether it's a dog or a snake or a bear or whatever. And now understand, the only way this will work is if you tell your younger cousins bad nighttime stories about erfer-derfers and things that live in the woods. All right? So he's already got this in the back of his mind. So I reach up there and I go to grab him, taking the very precise angle that I thought would be very effective. And I reach to grab him. And when he does, he rears back, not knowing I'm there. He comes back with that short handle hoe and the hook on the back of that hoe breaks my nose right there. You will see me in a profile shot somewhere in this message, and you will notice the little hump that has never gone away. Now, if I knew, sneaking back up on him, and him hitting with me with that handle would flatten that spot, I would attempt it, I believe. But it has put a knot on my nose. It's never gone away. I thought I was taking the very precise angle that would make me effective in achieving that frightening I wanted to put on him. But it did not work. I was the one who got surprised. And he changed, certainly the way I looked, and certainly the way my eyes look. I had tears in my eyes. I seen three Shanes with three hoes, and I didn't know where to go. It was rough. But we have to take the proper angle in order to not get hurt and to achieve what it is we are looking for. This morning's title is Rainbow Praises. If you will, look with me at Genesis chapter 9 and look with me at verse 8, and I will read through verse 16. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, and of the fowl, and of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark, to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said in verse 12, This is the token of the covenant, underline that, be reminded of that, which I make between and make you every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, and the bow shall be seen in the clouds. And I remember my covenant, which is between me and you, every living creature of all the flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. Will you pray this morning for yourself and for this messenger that God's will be done? Will you bow your souls with me now? Father, we come before you this morning, praising and exalting your name, lifting your name, God, above all names. Oh, Lord, we know that you are alone worthy of being worshipped and being served. And God, I pray this morning, this message that you have put in my heart, God, may I, by your power, by your wisdom, by your leading, by your strength, Lord, may it come across to these people exactly the way you intended for it to be. And Father, may I, Lord, by your guidance, by your strength, led of your Holy Spirit, Father, may I bring honor and glory and exalt the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I ask you now, Lord, if there be someone in our midst that does not know you, Father, may they see you through this sermon. God, I know without a holy hush of the Holy Spirit, God, without the Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray this morning, God, an outpouring of your Spirit upon this congregation, Lord, that we may feel you, Lord, that we may be numbed, oh God, that we may be reminded this morning, God, that you are alive and well, and you want nothing more than to have a covenant between you and man. Father, may you receive the honor and the glory. May you be praised, exalted. And Lord, may your will be done above all things, for it is in the precious name of the Lamb Jesus Christ I ask you. Amen. If you will, I want to share with you this morning six features this morning of a rainbow. Number one, the rainbow represents. Number two, the rainbow reveals. Number three, the rainbow reflects. Number four, the rainbow refers. Number five, the rainbow repeats. Number six, the rainbow reminds. Now, I will come back to these generally throughout the sermon, but not specifically. Number two, I want to share with you some facts about the rainbow. Do you realize this morning that every rainbow has seven colors? Those colors are red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. The rainbow is also shaped in a circular motion. Number three, it is a token from God, as you see in the Scriptures. He said in verse 12 that this is a token of my covenant. It is a token of God that He would no more flood the entire earth with water. Yes, we have flooding, but it does not flood the entire earth. That is specifically what He said. So when you hear of an area like Texas or other places that have been flooded, God broke His promise. God has never broke His promise. He said He would never flood the entire earth, but to believe that where you sit this morning, even though we are some 96, 98 foot above sea level, that where you sit this morning at one time was covered in water. The entire earth. This earth was destroyed and consumed for those who did not believe by water. And you know as well as I do, the very next time He destroys this earth, it will be with fire and brimstone. As well as He did the water, the fire will come. It's just a matter of time. But it is a token of His promise to the covenant of God and man. He would never do it. Number four, sunlight and precipitation must be present in order to have a rainbow. You don't necessarily have to see the sun, but the sun coming across the horizon has to meet the precipitation which is in the air in order to have a rainbow. Very important. Number five, the bow is always turned in the opposite direction in which the sun is moving. Now, I understand that it is us, the earth, that moves, but the sun still rises in the east and sets in the west. But when I tell you this here, the bow itself is always the arc, the circular motion of the rainbow is always running in the different direction in which the sun is traveling. Therefore, we are able to see a side view of the rainbow, which the arc. So, in short, if the sun is moving from east to west, the rainbow is traveling from north to south. If not, all you would see is one end of the rainbow leaving you. Next, in order for one to see a rainbow, you must be facing the rainbow, but the sun is always to your back. You will never see a rainbow with the sun on the other side of the rainbow. You are always between the rainbow and the setting or rising sun. The angle of the sun is refracted. It is turned in 42 degrees. Here's the picture. The sun shines its rays. The rays come straight as an arrow, but penetrating all of darkness, illuminating all. As the sun penetrates with its rays, it goes into the raindrop, and going in this circular raindrop, which is pure, clean, clear, and mirror-like, as the ray penetrates the drop or the precipitation, the ray's angles are bent, which means to be refracted. If you know about furnaces or cookers, there is a brick called refractory. The refractory turns the fire and the heat away from the very wall or object that you are trying to protect. So the ray of the sunlight is bent on a studied 42 degree of its original path. I'm not talking over your head. Say amen. If I ever talk over your head, you bullwhip me when we leave here, because too many preachers do that, and you leave and go home and you've learned nothing and they have failed. I preach from my heart, not so much my mind. God didn't put the message there. He puts it in my heart. And if I can't get it from my heart to yours, I have failed. The ray is now bent. So picture the sun to your back at some degree. The rainbow you see is before you. So the ray of the sun shines into the precipitation, and when you see the rainbow form, it is because the ray of the sun has hit that raindrop and it has been reflected so that you can see. Understand this, and don't miss this, and you can go back to what you were doing. God is not trying to take the sun and shine through an object in order to get to where you are. But He is trying to give you a reflection of what is already there. Remember, the rainbow reflects. This is so rich and so deep. There is so much between these lines and these words. So much that I believe if you truly grasp by God's leading power this morning, you will never look at a rainbow the same. You may even stop your car and hang your mouth in awe of what God has done. It is a reflection of the sun. Notice this. The closer the sun is to the horizon, to where we are, the more fullness we see the rainbow across the sky. We have seen fragments of a rainbow, you agree? We've seen small arcs, but it is all still in the circular motion. But the lower the sun sets to the horizon, the more of a complete 180 rainbow you see, and that's what puts people looking for fool's gold, right? Because there's supposed to be a pot of gold at the end of every rainbow, right? Oh, there's riches untold in the rainbow, but there's no pot of gold. There's something that's worth more than silver or gold. I will tell you that. And you don't have to go looking far for you find the riches of that rainbow. He's here this morning. So by all means, if God is leading, if you're standing in the presence of a king, maybe we should unloosen our shoes because we're not worthy of standing on the very ground in which He stands. Now, boy, God, you're good. Amen. I love you, Lord. But the higher the sun is, the less you will see of the rainbow. Anything you don't understand, I'm going to close the gap for you in just a minute. Now I want to give to you three very important truths, and here is the meat of the message. Number one. This is a very important truth of the rainbow. God uses the very substance in which He flooded and destroyed this earth. He uses the same very substance to reflect a rainbow in a token of His covenant to the people. Amazing, isn't it? That the very raindrop that fell from the cloud of heaven that flooded this earth and destroyed it, God said, I can use those things to destroy, but I am also a God of sovereignty and of mercy and of grace that I can take any object that was used to do bad and to do harm and I can penetrate it with my light and give a reflection that will show you a promise of God Almighty. He can use the very object, the very vessel, the very individual that at one time was used for bad. He can penetrate you as an object and fill you with the light that will give a good effect and show people that there is a God in heaven and there is a God who loves you and there is hope as long as He lives. That is God. And you are that object. And I ask you this morning,
The only way there's a reflection of God Almighty in the light that shines from heaven is when an object has been cleaned and when it is mirroring the very presence of God. And if we are dirty of sin and if we are polluted with the things of this life, you will not and cannot reflect the very image of God Himself. If the raindrop was polluted and full of smog, it could not reflect nothing but itself. But the minute you're cleaned up, woo! The minute you're cleaned up, the minute the chains have come loose and the shackles are free from your arms and your legs, you walk and you talk and you don't matter if you go through the fires. God is with you. It doesn't matter if you're in the lion's den because you're praying. He'll shut the mouth of the adversary. God will part the seas in your life that you can walk by on dry ground. He will lift you up above the cesspool of sin and He will give you hope. He will give you His Son and He will give you eternal life. Life that springs up in your soul because His name is Jesus and He loves you with all that He is. Leslie, are you ready to give me mouth to mouth if I pass out? I might fake it. But the minute Nathan says, I'll take it from here, Leslie, I'll stand up. Y'all come on back now. Boy, I tell you, I got the best job in the world. And that's to tell people about Jesus Christ. There is no higher calling. And there is one that should not be taken with more seriousness from the pulpit. We have a job to do, people. And no one's going to do it for you. It's time we get cleaned up. It's time we go ahead and answer what we already know the answer to and move forward for the glory and the honor of Jesus Christ. Number two. No people. This is the second important truth of the rainbow. No two people see the rainbow from the same angle. Nor do two people see the rainbow the very same. Bet you didn't know that one. Do you understand if we walk out here today, and wouldn't you love it if God were to put some showers over Florence and we would be able to see a 180 rainbow? Amen? They would fall down just between that dead section of pines over here and right over here where the road starts. Wouldn't that be good to see that rainbow? Well, I'll tell you what, He's going to send us one soon that'll give us a confirmation on this service, and He'll know that you were where you were supposed to be at the right time. As you understand that we all see the rainbow differently, let me tell you two reasons why. Optics and placement. Your optics, nerves, your eyes that give you sight. You understand if you stayed in a room full of darkness for a long period of time and never had light, you would go blind. You know that. Without light, you will go blind. And isn't it pretty amazing how if you do not have light in this earth, no one can be saved. You're lost in eternal darkness. I am very convinced this morning that has serious implications. Not only on the physical, but a very good illustration of the spiritual. But your optics, you know, you understand that blue-eyed people's eyes are more sensitive to light. I learned that from welding. You have to use a darker lens because other people's eyes are not quite as sensitive as your eyes are. But do you understand that because the rainbow is given to us as a token of His covenant, and it's also given to us because the sunlight is being bent. Boy, that is good. It's being bent in order that we may see a reflection of the very power and source of God giving us a promise and a reminder. And because where you stand, as I give you an illustration this morning, where you sit in this service, you all have a different view and different angle. But no one can stand precisely where you are when you see the rainbow. Because that means you would have to move out of your place and let them stand where you are. Therefore, it would rapidly, instantly change its imagery. Optics and placement.
And the same thing applies to the Lord Jesus Christ. The rainbow is the same. We see it different. God Almighty is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. He has not changed and will not change forever. But you and I have, and our children will continue to, as long as they hear this junk on TV, as long as our country continues to decline, not just economically, but morally more important. I'd rather be poor and looking for food than to know that people are renouncing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and taking away our privileges and our rights as Americans to be able to serve any other God you want to except for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's junk. And that sermon's coming. I'm going to pass out that day, honey. So you be ready. You know that pretty lipstick? No. I will tell you this morning that the way we view God in here this morning are very different. And it's because no one can be you but you. And no one can occupy your space but you. And that brings us to a very important fact. If you are the only one that sees him from that angle at that precise time in life, then it means that only you can fulfill the task at hand given in that very precise place. So where are you at? Can he count on you? You already fulfilling it? Or are you just stammering around here wondering, trying to look for somebody to tell you you can? I'll tell you this morning, you can by the power of God. All you got to do is get up and fulfill your placement. And through your eyes, you'll be able to see what God sees through his eyes. And there is no better option. There is no better placement than to be in the very presence of the one who died for you. Number three. And the final important truth I want to give you this morning, now you need to find your place in Revelation chapter 4. And look at the first three verses. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. We're just about there. Please stay with me. And the first voice which I heard was as if it were of a trumpet talking with me. You know, I believe that the trumpet that you're going to hear, I know as Gabriel goes out and sounds the trumpet. But I want you to know this morning that the one you serve speaks and sounds as if a trumpet. Which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. We all need to be in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven. And one sat on the throne. Oh, I love that. My God's not in a tomb, friend. He's sitting on a throne where he deserves to be. And you know what? America's not going to uproot him and throw him off in spite of our ways. He that sat was to look upon like a jasper and sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. The light that is within the circle of the rainbow, listen to me physically. When you see a rainbow, watch this next time and you will see it. The next time the rainbow's in the air, this is what most people do. Woo, look at them colors, them pretty. Really, aren't it? Do you know if God was to be able to take the constellations or the stars that we see in the sky and just reveal it to us every now and again, we would appreciate and stand in awe more than we do. What do we do when we see this guy? Well, it's pretty good. Now it's kind of clear. Keep on getting it. But that is a phenomenon. That is God's placement of the stars. It's like a pretty blue sky. We don't notice the sky because we're too busy down here. in our panoramic view down here, we don't notice the beautiful sky sometimes or a beautiful sunset. It's amazing. But to see where God takes a rainbow, and do you realize that the third important truth of the rainbow is that within the circle of the rainbow, it is brighter than it is on the outside. Proven true fact. You look for it next time. You back me up. You research it. The light is brighter physically in the rainbow that God has given a phenomenon to you and I as a reminder. Not only to remind you and I, but the Bible says that in verse 15 and 16 that He is reminded Himself of the covenant. And the light within the rainbow is brighter than without. Now watch this. We just found out in Revelations that when John from the Isle of Patmos in exile saw this vision and wrote Revelations based upon what God revealed to him, said that the light that was within this rainbow is who? The Son of God. And I want to ask you a question this morning as believers or non-believers of this gospel. Where are you sitting or standing in reference to the rainbow? Are you outside of the circle? Or are you inside the circle? Wouldn't it make sense that whomever is inside the circle is where they need to be with the Lord Jesus Christ? If His throne and if His placement is inside a rainbow, then would it not make sense that that is where you and I need to be? Because that is where the light is bright. Go back with me now to Genesis, and you look there, and this is where I close. I've given you the final point. I have showed you where the Son is and where the Son of God is. But now I want to show to you this in the very closing, waning moments of this service. Jesus is shown to us right here. Look at verse 13. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, I will bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I'll ask you this morning, my dear friend, who one day will step out in the cloud? Who will step out and the trumpet of the Lord shall sound? And all the dead in Christ shall rise first. And in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed from incorruption. Lord, listen, from corruption to incorruption. You ever seen that guy on Toyota? That's good stuff. I'm telling you right now, God's coming. He's sending His Son. He's not only telling you, He's sending a bow in the sky that it will not fly. Stop looking at your neighbor and look at me. If God's moving in your life, you move with Him and you quench not the Spirit. Listen to me this morning. If God told you the rainbow is a token, listen to me, you ever give somebody a gift? This is just a token of my appreciation. But it does not mean that's exactly how you feel. You want them to have a very small fragment of what you're thinking. So God is telling you and I, this is just a small token of the covenant between me and man. And I will tell you that one day my Son will step out on a cloud. And when He comes, He's going to call you by name. And you need to be ready. You need to have your sin washed under the blood. Stop thinking about what to do and get moving. Because inside that rainbow, listen here, inside that rainbow sits the One. I think about a ring for a minute. And you think about a fight because it is a fight. And I will tell you this morning, in this corner, weighing in with all the weight of sin, dressed in black, was the world that He died for. And over in the other corner, the undisputed heavyweight champion of heaven and earth, all dressed in white, with glory. No wonder. Listen, they thought they killed Him in the grave. They just unleashed His power and set Him free. Listen, the cross was just a place in which there had to be a sacrifice for you and I. He did not go to that cross to prove a point. He went to that cross to tell you this, that I love you with all that I am. And don't you let this world, don't you let this earth camouflage the love that I've given to you. And I will tell you that He is Jesus Christ. And He loves you. And He wants nothing more than to have you and you and you to serve Him. And I want to know, when the rainbow comes across the sky and we all have a different viewpoint and we see where this is a reflection of God's might and His power, and it is nothing more but just a token. It is nothing more but a tip of the iceberg of how almighty and how committed God is to this people. And He tells you to get up and to forgive your sins, asking Him to come into your heart, confessing with your mouth, and believing in your heart. And you mean to tell me that one sinner would walk out of this place this morning when God has already moved and told you this is just a token? But one day before too long, I'm going to send the one who sits within the rainbow. And we are supposed to be reminding ourselves of that, says Paul. But He's coming. The rainbow. And what viewpoint do you have? It's different. And what you're going to do? Why don't we take our several different views and come to one place, to one God, and say, now is the time. I've heard these sermons. God's deal. Listen, you know what? You know if you're the one that's supposed to be here this morning, God's done knocked on your door. He's done revealed to you. The Holy Spirit has already talked to you. And for the ones who need to hear this message this morning, it's right on time and it's up to you to respond because you have your own free will to do or not to do. But I will tell you this. There is no better place to be and inside the soul of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask our musicians to come this morning, and as you take your place, you begin. And I want to ask you this question as we close. Some of you have been inside the rainbow, and you know how good it can be. But you're not there anymore. That applies to some. You know who you are. The ones who that offends is probably the ones who are outside of the circle. So if that's what it means to take hold, then let it be offensive. Because you know sooner or later, maybe serving the Lord Jesus Christ, your preacher may have to go to jail because I'm not going to renounce His name. I'm not going to stop. The only thing that'll stop me is for that breath that God holds in His hand, it's mine when it's taken. I have to get committed to God to where if someone, and you listen to me, if someone took my daughter and had them in their hands and said, you need to renounce the Lord Jesus Christ or I'm going to take her life. What you going to do? That's your daughter, that's right, but He's your God, and God said nothing should come before me, between me and you. I love my daughter. There is nothing wrong with me wanting to protect her. But I can't say I don't know Him and then walk around the corner and say, God, you know, we're just playing a game. God don't play games like that. Once you make your mark and once you said what you're going to say, you need to live with it. Your daughter's free, but now you're in bondage forever. I need to know as the people of Lebanon Church and visitors and members alike, Where is your placement? Where are you standing? I've explained to you, I've poured out my heart this morning. Maybe I'll get a moment's rest now. But I'd be so restless because the Word of God is in my heart. And the only way to get breath or be able to get a moment of relief is to get it out. And God has spoke to some hearts in here because I see it on your face. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to stand with me right now. I want you to bow your heads. I want you to close your eyes. Brother AC sings for us this morning. No one else is singing. What you're doing is you're praying. And if you don't believe for a minute that I don't love you, well, you got another thing coming. But if you don't believe the Lord God loves you,